You're listening to Joe's Roadhouse with your host, Smokin' Joe Montez, here on Sirius Radio. We're starting off this hour with an old comedy bit entitled Delicious, and this features Jim Backus and his wife, Henny, recorded back in 1958. If you're old enough, you'll remember him as the voice of Mr. Magoo in the cartoon show of the same name. Then later, he did the role of Thurston Howell III on Gilligan's Island, one of the great voices of comedy here on Joe's Roadhouse on Sirius Radio. Enjoy, folks.
It's a cozy table, isn't it?
And champagne, my dear.
Delicious.
You like it?
Delicious.
I like it too. Yes, I do like it.
Delicious.
Yes, it is. You want some more?
Delicious.
I knew you'd like it. You always.
Delicious.
Oh, have some more. Get the waiter and. Put on the paper hat. Get out the lamp. I even like the cork. Waiter, four. Keep pouring. Every night, New Year's Eve. You got it, every. Every night we're gonna do this. I don't care. Lose the job, everything. What are you gonna do? Scabadoo!
Soft pedal on that whistling, little lady. It's bad luck. What's your pleasure?
Four whiskey. Straight.
Won't take a seat at one of those tables. I can't serve you here.
Listen, is that big stiff been in here today?
I don't know who you're talking about.
My husband.
I don't know.
I don't care.
Oh.
I says to my husband this morning, the trouble with you is I'm too good for you. How do you like that? He didn't have an answer.
You're too quick-witted for him. You're good at repartee. Will you go over there and sit down at one of the tables?
Straight whiskey.
Thank you.
Squawk Mulligan tells me you buried your wife several years ago.
Yes, I had to. She died.
You know what else I said to him?
I'll be candid with you. I do not know.
No. Straight.
Straight whiskey? Thank you.
I says there ain't a man.
You're full of helium. You better not take off your shoes or go straight up in the air. Now listen. Go over there and sit down at one of those tables.
The best man that ever breathed ain't good enough for the worst woman in the world.
Now listen, you pygmy. Go over there and sit down at one of those tables. I'm going to take you out of here and throw you on your head.
You and who else?
Me and Squawk Mulligan.
Okay. You big tomboy.
How can you beat that?
It's kind of tough.
Tough nothing. If I was in condition and I had Squawk with me, I could lick two of them.
Give me a shot of that panther.
Yeah. I'm tending bar one time down the Lower East Side in New York. A tough Paloma comes in there by the name of Chicago Molly. I cautioned her, none of your picadillos in here. There was some hot lunch on the bar comprising of succotash, Philadelphia cream cheese, and asparagus with mayonnaise. She dips her mitt down into this melange. I'm yawning at the time, and she hits me right in the mug with it. I jumps over the bar and knocks her down.
Where's the funnel?
I don't know. It's up along there somewhere. You were there the night I knocked the Chicago Molly down, weren't you?
You knocked her down. I was the one that knocked her down.
Oh, yeah, yes, that's right. He knocked her down, but I was the one started kicking her.
Here's the funnel.
Yeah, okay. So I starts kicking her in the midriff. Did you ever kick a woman in the midriff that had a pair of corsets on?
No, I just can't recall any such incident right now.
Well, I almost broke my great toe. I never had such a painful experience.
Did she ever come back again?
Well, I'll say she came back. She came back a week later and beat the both of us up.
Yeah, but you had another woman with her. An elderly lady with gray hair. Those two tough guys beat her up.
Sheriff, come out from behind that bar. You're not wanted here.
You're crazy. I'm wanted for nearly every state in the Union.
Come on, come on, come on.
I was a pathetic drunk, man. I get pulled over by the cops. I'd be so drunk, I'd be out dancing to their lights, thinking I'd made it to another club. Does not look good on the arrest report. You ask a state trooper to do-si-do, they tend to remember you. As opposed to 10 years ago. You remember 10 years ago, the attitude? You got pulled over, you were drinking, cop comes up to your car. Son, you been drinking? Yeah. Oop, sorry to bother you. Hope I didn't bring your buzz down any. Didn't know y'all were partying, didn't mean to startle you. All righty. Sure, I'll dance. A little more easygoing, right? 10 years ago? Yeah, it was. Now, if you get pulled over and you've been drinking, that's the end of the fucking chase. There could be bank robberies going on around you, kidnappings, terrorist activities. Fuck it. Every cop car in the county pulls up to watch you audition for your freedom. Oh, yeah, that's their favorite show at night. They all get out with their coffee. They put you in the headlights of their car. And you're on. Thank you. It's great to be here at the overpass. Boy, it looks like we got quite a turnout here tonight. Lieutenant, how are you? Good to see you again. Apparently a season ticket holder to our little weekend show. They put you through that field sobriety test, which is very deceiving. I don't know if you've ever been through this. It's very deceiving, field sobriety test, because it's very easy at first. First thing they told me is walk a straight line. Son, you want to come back? Come on, Lieutenant. We do that joke every weekend. God damn it, that almost hit me. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm coming. Touch your nose. easiest test I've ever taken. I'll touch my nose and walk a straight line. Get some extra credit on this motherfucker. Yeah, then comes the kicker. Say the alphabet backwards. You got me. I'm not even drunk. I'm obviously too stupid to be driving, goddammit. Where the fuck did that one come from? We just changed gears on that test. Touch your cheek. Touch your hair. Do calculus. They're making this shit up. And they pop you anyway. No matter what you do in that test, if they feel like it. So I say, forget it. Touch your nose. Walk a straight line. Ah, screw it. I'm drunk. I might puke if I start moving around a lot. How about this, officer? How about you carry me to the back of your car? I think I'll start my 18-hour nap right now, buddy. You ever seen vomit go through that mesh screen between the front and back seats? Oh, yeah. You're going to rue the day you pulled me in, pal. I've been eating bar olives for 3 days now. Yes, sir. You caught me. I'm drunk. Woo. Man, you got me out of my car and into yours just in time, officer. I'm going to be out of jail tomorrow. You're going to be smelling this shit for weeks, buddy. Boy, I hope I was worth it. Oh, sorry.
Baby, will you eat that there snack cracker in your special outfit for me, please?
That was Southern Culture on the Skids here on Joe's Roadhouse on Sirius Radio. You know, years ago I picked up that CD, even though I never heard of the band, but I liked the cover. A bunch of musicians, they looked like they were from the shallow end of the gene pool, with a hot-looking female bass player, and they were sitting on an old dirt track in one frame of the cover, and there was a used rubber in another frame. I just had to check it out. And it turned out to be an outstanding CD and a really great band, Southern Culture on the Skids. Opening up that set was Jim Backus and his wife, Henny Backus, doing Delicious. And then we went back even further to W.C. Fields from his film My Little Chickadee, and that film also featured Mae West. He was playing a sheriff slash bartender dealing with a particularly tough little lady. Now, while we're on the subject of alcohol, I thought I'd play a bit about a frequent flyer, so to speak, from Bill Hicks called The Pathetic Drunk. Next, we wrapped up that set with Camel Walk from Southern Culture on the Skids. Yeah, I know it's not live music, but it fits into that vein of musical humor we're mining here on this show. Since we played some salsa in the Cheech and Chong set, I thought I'd open up this hour with a tango from Tom Lehrer on Joe's Roadhouse here on Sirius Radio. So grab your castanets, put a rose between your teeth, and hit the floor. Here we go.
For the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango. Let our love be a flame, not an ember. Say it's me that you want to dismember. Blacken my eye, set fire to my tie as we dance to the masochism tango. At your command, before you here I stand, my heart is in my hand. Ugh, it's here that I must be. My heart entreats, just hear those savage beats, and go put on your cleats and come and trample me. Your heart is hard as stone or mahogany. That's why I'm in such exquisite agony. My soul is on fire, it's aflame with desire, which is why I perspire when we tango. You caught my nose in your left castanet, love. I can feel the pain yet, love. Every time I hear drums, and I envy the rose that you held in your teeth, love, with the thorns underneath, love, sticking into your gums. Your eyes cast a spell that bewitches. The last time I needed 20 stitches to sew up the gash you made with your lash as we dance to the masochism tango. Bash in my brain and make me scream with pain, then kick me once again and say we'll never part. I know too well I'm underneath your spell, so darling, if you smell something burning, it's my heart. Excuse me. Take your cigarette from its holder and burn your initials in my shoulder. Fracture my spine and swear that you're mine as we dance to the masochism tango.
I must pause for one fast second and say a fast word about oral contraception. I was involved in an extremely good example of oral contraception 2 weeks ago. I asked a girl to go to bed with me, and she said no.
Well, a Scotsman clad in kilt left a bar one evening fair, and one could tell by how he walked that he'd drunk more than his share. He fumbled round until he could no longer keep his feet, and he stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io. He stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. About that time, two young and lovely girls just happened by. One says to the other with a twinkle in her eye, "See yon sleeping Scotsman, so strong and handsome built. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt." Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt. They crept up on that sleeping Scotsman quiet as could be, lifted up his kilt about an inch so they could see, and there behold for them to view beneath his Scottish skirt was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io, was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. They marveled for a moment, then one said, "We must be gone. Let's leave a present for our friend before we move along." As a gift they left a blue silk ribbon tied into a bow. Around the bonny star the Scots kilt did lift and show. Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io. Around the bonny star the Scots kilt did lift and show. Now the Scotsman woke to nature's call and stumbled towards the trees. Behind the bush he lifts his kilt and gawks at what he sees, and in a startled voice he says to what's before his eyes, "Oh, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first prize." Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io. Oh, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first prize.
Some guy cut me off in the lane. He started yelling and screaming, and then he almost went insane. He yelled, "Pull over, buddy, you're gonna get hurt." I'll wiggle my hips, and with a karate kick he was laying in the dirt. He said, "You whooped my butt, but then why'd you wiggle your hips when you were through?" And I said, "Hey, Palace WWED, what would Elvis do?" I met this sweet young thing, and I took her to the county fair. We played some games, and I got her a corn dog and a teddy bear. And then we went on the Ferris wheel, and Lord, that's where it all went wrong. Just like Elvis would have done when we got to the top, I started singing her a song, and she started screaming, and then they all called for security, and I said, "Didn't y'all ever see Roustabout? Come on, WWED. Yeah, now some folks go to college, and others take dope to get their kicks. Me, I learned everything in life from watching Elvis flicks. If I was the president, I wouldn't need no help at all. Just give me my peanut butter and banana sandwich and give old Aunt Margaret a call. Yeah, hunga, 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 hunga." Had my share of girls, 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 and had the GI blues. Spent time in a harem, but you know that got a little old. So I went on back to New Orleans and thought I'd become the King Creole. Had a little spin out, easy come, easy go. Guess I should have listened when somebody told me, "Stay away, Joe." Here's what happened. I was walking by a schoolyard, and suddenly I turned around. There was two girls in Catholic school plaid dresses wrestling on the ground. I tried to break them up, but that's where I got into jail. Because I put them over my knee and I began to spank them while I sang, "Everybody do the clam." The judge said, "Hey, buddy, You sound like a pervert to me. And I said, come on, Judge, two girls wrestling in cotton underpanties, WWED. I'm doing the jailhouse rock, and it ain't bad so far. Except when my cellmate talks about the trouble with girls and something about a flaming star. He says, you need to change a habit. Come here and love the tender. I said, buddy, you touch me one more time and you're gonna return to sender. He said, you ain't gotta kiss my cousin. Just come here and tickle me. And I said, well, we're gonna be in here for a while. And you know, from the back, your butt does kind of look like Priscilla's, what the hell, WWED. Yeah, that's all right, mama. Ooh, yeah, put a little WWED 40 on that. Thank you very much.
The Reverend Billy C. Wirtz with the answer to the question, WWED, what would Elvis do? And we opened up that set with Tom Lehrer and the Masochism Tango. Following that, you heard a bit from Woody Allen sharing his own experience with oral contraception. And then we had A Tale of Discovery and Reward with two young ladies on a little walk through the woods on The Scotsman from Brian Bowers. There's much more in store, and be afraid, because next we're heading into the realm of science fiction and monsters. Here on Joe's Roadhouse, no fluff, no filler, no Pop-Tarts, but some pretty weird and cool stuff.
Was ill the day the earth stood still, but he told us where we stand. And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong. They got caught in a celluloid jam. Then at a deadly pace it came from outer space, and this is how the message ran. Over a barrel when Tarantula took to the hills. And I got really hot when I saw Jeanette Scott fight a triffid that spits poison and kills. Data Andrews said runes, gave him the runes, and passing them used lots of skills. And when worlds collide, said George Powell to his bride, I'm gonna give you some terrible thrills. Like a
Stars in for nuclear planets. A lot of people don't think about it. Been in the news a lot lately, you know, heightening tensions between the East and the West, you know. Chance of nuclear destruction. They don't remember going way back, long time ago, when the United States was testing atomic weapons in the Pacific Ocean. Way back in the early 50s when atomic testing was still above ground. Little did they know when they set off one of those A-bombs, lurking for millions of years encased in a block of ice. Evil incarnate, waiting to be melted down and to rise again. Waiting only to take those giant footsteps. Sounds something like that, don't it? Sounds like something coming this way now! Sounds like... Holy Godzilla!
Yeah. time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely, not for very much longer. I've got to keep control.
Are captured by cannibals and they're stuck naked in a big pot of water over a fire, and the water gets hotter and hotter, and all of a sudden one guy starts laughing and the other guy says, "What's so funny?"
"I just peed in their soup."
From the London cast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, you heard a great live version of the song, Science Fiction. And then from the album Blue Oyster Cult, Extraterrestrial Live, you heard Godzilla. And then once again, from the live stage production of Rocky Horror, we did The Time Warp. After that, you heard from a Practical Joker in Cooked by Cannibals, and that was off of the Prairie Home Companion. Now, one of my favorite comedians growing up was Jack Benny. I used to watch the Jack Benny Show every chance I got. And a frequent guest was Mel Blanc, also known as the Man of a Thousand Voices. You know him as the voice of Bugs Bunny, as well as the other characters in the Warner Brothers cartoons, Yosemite Sam, Foghorn Leghorn, Pepe Le Pew, and more. I'm going to play one of the funniest of his bits from the Jack Benny Show. You know, Jack Benny always played up a persona of being unbelievably tight-fisted with money. As he said back in those days, a skinflint. So here you go, on Joe's Roadhouse, Jack Benny with Mel Blanc on Sirius Radio.
I'll get it right.
Telegram for Mr. Jack Benny.
Oh, thank you. See who this is from. You may go. What are you waiting for?
Well, I don't like to mention it, but when one delivers a telegram, it's customary for one to get a tip.
Oh, of course. I'm sorry.
The amount you may choose to give me is entirely up to you.
Yes, I know, of course.
In a matter like this, why, I wouldn't want to influence you in any way.
No, I understand that.
Do you mind if I use your phone for just a minute?
No, go right ahead.
Well, thank you very much.
Right ahead. Let's see. Change. I thought I had smaller change than this.
Hello, Martha. This is Hyman. How's Grandma feeling? Not any better, huh? Well, what can we do? I know. Can't afford to buy medicine for the baby either. Martha, if we spend that money for medicine, we won't be able to buy any food. Huh? What? The landlord was over? What'd he say? He's only gonna give us 2 more days. Well, I'll try to see what I can do, Martha. Keep up your courage. I want it.
Boy, control yourself. Oh, I'm terribly sick. Control yourself. Here's the tip.
Oh, gee, thank you, mister.
Oh, no. For a lousy dime, I just wasted a routine I could have sold to Betty Davis.
You know, whenever you're exposed to advertising in this country, you realize all over again that America's leading industry is still the manufacture, distribution, packaging, and marketing of bullshit. High-quality bullshit. World-class designer bullshit, to be sure. Hospital-tested, clinically proven bullshit. But bullshit nonetheless. And it always amuses me that so many people seem to think that bullshit only comes from certain sources. You know, advertising, politicians, salesmen. Not true. Bullshit is everywhere. Bullshit is rampant. Parents are full of shit. Teachers are full of shit. Clergymen are full of shit. Law enforcement people are full of shit. The entire country is completely full of shit. In fact, this country was founded by a group of slave owners who told us that all men are created equal. That is what's known as being stunningly, stunningly full of shit. And you know, I think... And I think people show their ignorance when they say they want politicians to be honest. What are these people talking about? If honesty were suddenly introduced into politics, it would throw everything off. The whole system would collapse. And I think deep down the American people know that. The American people like their bullshit out front. Clinton said, "Hi, I'm full of shit, and how do you like that?" And the people said, "At least he's honest." least he's honest about being full of shit.
Dick Cheney. And that's all I got to say. Isn't it great that we've reached that point? You don't even have to say Dick Cheney, the vice president who shot his friend in the face while hunting. Went quail hunting. Quail hunting. He went hunting for quail. You do not use the words hunt and quail together in a sentence. You don't hunt for quail. You might track quail. You might walk behind them, wondering what kind of a miserable fuck existence do you have? They're this big. They're tiny little birds. They barely fuck fly. And they clip their wings. They clip their wings. So they couldn't fly any higher than 10 feet. Are you fucking kidding me? Unbelievable. And you shoot them with birdshot. Not like a BB gun, which could do the job. No, birdshot, which is like just a spray of just fucking metal and shit. And then you gotta wait till the dust clears. Did I hit anything? Going quail hunting is like saying I'm going fishing and going to a goldfish bowl and going, got it! They were hunting in a place that rich people pay to hunt at, okay? They actually, they drive them to where the animals are. That is not fucking hunting. There's a fence around the place. Son of a bitch. That means they go, they track in the deer. Oh, look, we got him in the corner. They turned a petting zoo into Auschwitz. I don't know much about hunting, but from what I can gather, the hunters are generally in a line, okay? You don't get in a circle and go, you know, let's get it. One guy doesn't stand in front about 20 feet and going, okay, fire! So that means that he's standing here and his friend is there. How do you think it happened? I got it, I got it, I got it, bam! You can't say I mistook you for a quail.
A few weeks ago, Dick Cheney says he thinks I'm the worst president of his lifetime. Which is interesting because I think Dick Cheney is the worst president of my lifetime. Just this week, Michelle Bachmann actually predicted that I would bring about the biblical end of days. Now that's a legacy. That's big. I mean, Lincoln, Washington, they didn't do that. I am determined to make the most of every moment I have left. After the midterm elections, my advisors asked me, Mr. President, do you have a bucket list? And I said, well, I have something that rhymes with bucket list. executive action on immigration? Bucket. New climate regulations? Bucket. It's the right thing to do. Anyway, being president is never easy. I still have to fix a broken immigration system, issue veto threats, negotiate with Iran, all while finding time to pray five times a day. Which is strenuous. As always, I want to close on a more serious note. You know, I often joke about tensions between me and the press, but honestly, what they say doesn't bother me. I understand we've got an adversarial system. I'm a mellow sort of guy. And that's why I invited Luther, my anger translator, to join me here tonight.
Hold on to your lily white butts.
In our fast-changing world, traditions like the White House Correspondents' Dinner are important.
I mean, really? What is this dinner? And why am I required to come to it? Jeb Bush, do you really want to do this?
Because despite our differences, we count on the press to shed light on the most important issues of the day.
And we can count on Fox News to terrify old white people with some nonsense. Sharia law is coming to Cleveland, run for the damn hills! Y'all's ridiculous.
We won't always see eye to eye.
Oh, and CNN, thank you so much for the wall-to-wall Ebola coverage. For two whole weeks, we were one step away from the walking dead. And then y'all got up and just moved on to the next thing. That was awesome. Oh, and by the way, just if you haven't noticed, you don't have Ebola!
The nonstop focus on billionaire donors creates real problems for our democracy.
And that's why we're running for a third term!
No, we're not.
We're not?
No.
Who the hell said that?
But we do need to stay focused on some big challenges, like climate change.
Hey, listen, y'all, if you haven't noticed, California is bone dry. It looked like a trailer for the new Mad Max movie up in there. Y'all think that Bradley Cooper came here because he wants to talk to Chuck Todd? He needed a glass of water! Come on!
The science is clear. The science is clear. 9 out of the 10 hottest years ever came in the last decade.
Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know how to count to 10.
Rising seas, more violent storms.
You got mosquitoes. Sweaty people on the train, stinking it up. It's just nasty.
I mean, look at what's happening right now. Every serious scientist says we need to act. The Pentagon says it's a national security risk. Miami floods on a sunny day, and instead of doing anything about it, we've got elected officials throwing snowballs in the Senate.
Okay, Mr. I think I got it, bro.
It is crazy. What about our kids? Okay. What kind of stupid, short-sighted, irresponsible bull?
Whoa! Whoa! Hey!
What?
Okay, no, hey!
What?
All due respect, sir, you don't need an anger translator. You need counseling. So now I'm out of here, man. I ain't trying to get into all this.
Go.
Get crazy.
Luther, my anger translator, ladies and gentlemen.
We opened up that set with A Desperate Mel Blanc, trying to get a decent tip out of Jack Benny. Now, I love the part where he goes, gee, I thought I had smaller change than this, and gives him a dime. Classic material from a special time in comedy. After that, we heard from the great George Carlin himself with his observations on America's political system. And speaking of bullshit, we heard about Dick Cheney's hunting prowess from Lewis Black, who is so well known for his outburst that he voices a Pixar character named Anger in the movies. You also heard from our comedian-in-chief, President Barack Obama, from this year's White House Correspondents' Dinner. Known for being somewhat cool and understated, President Obama brought out Luther, his anger translator, to convey his inner feelings as he spoke. Now, Luther is a character played by Keegan-Michael Key from the show Key and Peele. I highly recommend you check out Obama's appearance on the White House Correspondents' Dinner on YouTube. The man has great timing and is a naturally gifted comedian. He killed at the dinner, and Luther was great as well. And you're listening to some comedy that spans generations, yet is still as funny as when it was recorded, here on Joe's Roadhouse on Sirius Radio.